Okay, guys. Okay. So I don't want you to get a wrong impression when I talk about this meditating in the Word thing. You can just read your Bible. You don't have to jump in and start praying all the time. You can just read your Bible, but the more you do what we're talking about now, the more your heart comes alive when you're reading. When you're reading, who knows, you have the ability to understand at some level what it's saying. What I like people to do is pray that back to the Lord, get personal with it. If you're reading, okay, later in this chapter. Oh, wow, here, that's just, we're right here anyway. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work. See, there's times in my life where I'll be alone with the Lord and I'll take a scripture like that and I'll just, that's the end of, and it's communion, it's fellowship. I might not even read after something like that because that's where I ramp up and boom, that's where I arrive. I might not. I might just read that and just pray two or three lines out of my heart. But it depends. It comes alive in you. I asked you this question before the break. Who's ever read your Bible and something just amplified and got bigger than the rest of the page? That's something God's saying. You want to camp there. You want to let that be formed in you. You want to release faith and pray and maybe not necessarily read a whole bunch more right now. Just let that come alive. Do you see what I'm saying? Because I know people get bored with reading their Bible. Christian people, good Christian people, because we don't understand what we're doing. We're communing with the Lord. We're not reading our Bible because it's the Christian thing to do and I need to now. I want to know Him. I know Christians, they get bored and they say, well, yeah, but I don't understand. Holy Spirit will give you understanding if you ask Him, and take the little bit you think you're understanding and begin to pray it back and watch it grow. There was a season in my life through reading the Word. I wouldn't take the Word and do it. I would just take the elements of communion. But I had read the Word over and over in areas. I had taught on the blood and I had taught on things already. So this was later in my life. I was saved for a few years. But I just took the two communion elements. And as often as you do, do it in remembrance of me. And the Holy Spirit told me, He said in the mornings He wanted me to start the day with communion. And I would take the bread and the cup and remember Him. And I'd hold up the bread. And the more that I would do it, the bigger it got. And a couple weeks went by and it just kept getting bigger and it wasn't redundant. It actually was exciting because it kept growing and all of a sudden more analogies and more parallels would come in and I'd just start thinking about the body and Scripture would rise up out of the blue. It would be like, whoa, and you knew it was the Lord. But I'm in the position, I want to know Him and I want to remember Him and His death until He comes and the benefits and the accomplishment, and I'm giving myself to this by faith and it's coming alive in me. Who knows that through an experience like that, that sure beats trying to confess when sickness is started, by His stripes I'm healed, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. No, when I have this and sickness is trying to come, Father, I just thank You. It's immediate communion. You're talking to the Lord. You're not making a confession. Father, I just thank You right now. I so see that I'm under the protection and covering the blood of Jesus Christ. You have loved me when I was yet a sinner. You have crushed the law of sin and death. I am in the law of the Spirit of life through Christ. And whatever comes alive in you, and all of a sudden, I was training for a job. I left pastoring for a little and was working, and I tried to share this the other in school and I didn't finish the thought. I'm aware of it right now. It's on a tape one of the days last week. And I was sharing, I got sharing other things about in the workplace. I went to a sinful place. Remember, a real dark place, and got words of knowledge and things, and then God told me to go back to the workplace. But there was a point I wanted to make. They said about, you know, if you miss any days, you won't pass your 90-day probation. If you miss one day of work, you're done. They won't hire you. And I'm thinking in my mind, because they said, and we know the flu's going around, and da-da-da, and I'm thinking in my mind, well, I ain't worried about the flu. I just don't get sick. It's not about the common cold and catching the flu, and I'm not chasing it. Why would I catch it? It doesn't make sense. So I'm not on page, and I'm not hypo, spiritual, religious, presumptuous, proud, holier than thou in that thinking. I'm just not afraid. I happen to believe that we don't have to be vulnerable to all that stuff in a true sense of understanding. And that doesn't condemn people that are going through things. So I'm just in my mind, this thought went through me. Well, that's thank God for the gospel. God, I love you, because that's not going to be an issue. That was my first night of work. So to top it off, my trainer had the flu real bad, and he didn't look good. You know how people look like they're going to die, like they're walking dead?
Yeah.
And that's how he was, and he's shaking, and he's got, and he's white, and he's withdrawn, and he looks bad. And everybody's like, "Dude, you look like walking death, man. You need to, you know, this." And he's like, "Oh man, but I'm going to get in and get through this, and I don't want to miss work. I know how much they need me to train." And he's working like crazy hours. He's young. He's making all this money training. He came down from the New York facility, right? This is exactly how this happened. I'm thinking in my mind, well, that ain't going to apply to me. You know, I'm not chasing the flu. I'm not going to catch it. I'm laughing in my mind. And then I see he's hurting real bad with it. Now, I didn't just jump up, "Hey, I need to pray for you, bud." I was just in the group. Now, I could have, but I don't even remember why I didn't, other than I'm supposed to be trained. He's training us. And I did share about Jesus in orientation and freaked everybody out. It was funny. Nobody wanted me on their team because... It was just funny. When the teams got filled with eight people, everybody'd celebrate because I wasn't on the eight. So, and then when I got put on a team, everybody was like, "Oh, you got him. You got the religious dude." And they're just, oh, it's just so funny. So watch what happened, first of all. That first night, this is exactly how it happened. I'm sincerely saved, I'm in faith, I'm believing God, and I'm at this workplace because I believe God wants me there for one. And I was also taking a season just to try to find in my heart and understand ministry and what ministry was. There was a multiplicity of reasons why I was doing this. Some people didn't understand, but I just did this, needed to do this, and God set it all up. So I'm standing there, and this guy that the two bosses came, we had his third shift job, 4 a.m. They came, 3:30 in the morning came. We started at midnight or something. They came to take him home, escort him out, and make him leave. And they were these two upper management guys because they heard how bad he was. They said, "Well, look, this is crazy. He can't stay here." So they came to get him, and nobody realized, but he's actually doing better and looking better. This is exactly how it happened. I didn't preach to nobody that night. I'm just training. I'm not interrupting. I'm training. I probably talked to people at break. I'm sure we had some little encounters, but I'm their employee. So I'm not preaching. I'm listening, and I'm being a good little disciple. And it's a job that I did for 15 years, and this guy's done it for 2, and he's training me. That could be an area if you have pride. What's this young whippersnapper going to show me? I've been doing this for 15 years, swinging this stuff, and he ain't got nothing. You know how we get. But I'm just sitting there. Bosses came and said, "Man, we came to tell you to go home." He said, "Well, you don't look as bad as they said. They said you really look bad." And he said, "No, actually, I'm not feeling too bad right now. I'm feeling pretty good." He said, "Well, they said it was coming on you so bad that you couldn't hardly walk. And he said you were white and they looked like you were going to die, man." He said, "That's how I felt." He said, "Man, you changed quick then, because that was just a couple hours ago they told us that. We figured this flu's been knocking people out." And here's exactly what he said. Blessed me, because I was saved 2 years, 2.5 years, and went into pastoring. And then a year later, so I was saved 3.5 years. But I'm on fire, and I'm confident in who I am and all this stuff, but I'm not preaching. Watch what he said. He said, "Well, I don't know what's going on, but I know it has to do with him." And he points right to me. And I'm just standing there, I'm like, "Me?" It's so amazing. He said, "All I know is when I stand around him, I feel better." And that's why in every little circle of training, I don't know if you've realized he's talking to me. He said, "That's why I'm standing beside you the whole time." And he said, "Because when I stand near you, I just feel better." Now, he was almost saying it in a superstitious way. That he made the connection, so he was making sure he doesn't. He had no knowledge of Christ whatsoever, this young kid. And I said, "Well, actually, it's very true what you're saying. That's exactly what's happening." And I said, "If you guys want me to take the time, I can explain completely what's going on." And they said, "Really? What? You're aware? You know?" And these are the upper guys. I said, "Oh, yeah, it's a real simple explanation." And I began to share the kingdom in me and the gospel and where my heart is and how my life changed and how it blesses everybody. And how it's not some push that you need to change and clean up. It's the expression of God's love to the world. Because I said, here I am believing this, guys. Jim doesn't have a clue, and he's reaping the benefit of my faith, and God's love's pouring out on him and making him whole when he was sick. I said, it's a good news, guys. Jesus is amazing, and he loves us. And they're all like, oh my God, this guy. My first night. Now guess what happens? I go home, I sleep, I get up. Now it's my second night. Guess what happens right before supper? Feelings of flu symptom start creeping up on my flesh. And see, that's where we fall apart and we get heady and we freak out. How's this happening? Well, that guy got healed. Well, why is this? Well, just foul devil. And we, you know what I mean? It started to happen to me a little. That's how I know. Because I thought, wait a minute, this is... And I ran to my bedroom, because that's where I go a lot of times. So I ran to my bedroom to fight. I did. I ran in there to fight, and I started fighting, boy. I said, okay, you want to mess with me? I'm doing it. So I got a big sword. And I'm just, yeah. And I was working pretty hard in there. And I was building up a sweat. I was preaching. And I started to feel like, man, I need to sit down. I got the flu going here. Because, seriously, because I was working hard. I was preaching everything I've ever been taught about healing. I was proclaiming it, shouting it, confessing it. Yeah. And I was feeling queasy, cold, and shivery. And my wife was making spaghetti, and it's my favorite meal in the world. And I didn't feel like eating it. Now, I know that's something wrong. In the middle of all that, I mean well. Who knows I mean well? In the middle of all that, Holy Spirit said, hey, Dan, why don't you open your Bible? Take a look at Psalms 103. That's what he said. He said, just take a look at Psalms 103. So I opened it up. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within. And I just started crying. Because I knew the psalm. I could quote the psalm. I preached the psalm. I'm a preacher, remember? Bless the Lord, and all that is within me. I laid down my Bible. I was just crying. I'll never forget it. I just bless you. I have nothing to worry about. No fear. I don't even have a problem. I'm not in a fight. I'm your child. Oh God, you love me. I'm bawling. I bless you with my whole heart. I worship you. I began to love on Jesus, man. It was like so intense. And I looked down and I started reading. I don't forget your benefits. This isn't something I got to work for. I don't have to set everything in order. I don't have to. It's not my shout, my quoting of these scriptures. You love me. Ah! It just got so, I was so freaked out. You love me. That's how I get when I'm alone. See, I'm a mess. You have no idea. You think I'm flaky when I preach. I save it for him. I don't get that way around you. It's not for you. But see, I'm about on the borderline right now. But see, that door's closed. And I'm going, you know, like, you love me. And I don't even know when it happened, but I know at some point in the middle, I felt so alive, so vibrant, hungry for spaghetti, so ready to work, so ready to shine. I don't know when it happened, but all I know is when I fixed my eyes on who He is and who He is towards me, and my heart responded back to Him, and I got off of all the, I need to pray this and proclaim this and cast this down and rebuke this and bless this and speak this. And when I got off of all that, when I got off of all that, guess who I got fixed on? Him, and he is amazing. I like to say it this way, when I looked into his eyes and into his face, through truth, that means looking through truth, I see his face. You look through truth and you see the beauty of who he is. He's so beautiful. And you're standing there and you see him. So I ran down and I gobbled my spaghetti. And I went to work. Isn't that cool? Do you think that was an accident, the timing of that stuff trying to hit me? You're riding high, I'm a Christian, hey, no problem there. That ain't going to happen to me because, you know, I'm in this covenant. About the time you're thinking that and tell a friend that, about the time you get those symptoms. And then you're offended because the thing you're trying to proclaim is getting accosted, and then you're fighting to save face and stand in this spiritual place, and the whole motive gets whacked and twisted, and it's really all about you then. And this can't happen to me because I'm proclaimed this, and I'm a child of God, and the Spirit of God is with me. And it gets weird. It's actually all about you. No, it's Him. And it all goes back to, you really love me. That's why everything's cool. You get what I'm saying here? I'm telling you, we've done this hi-ho thing in the church, and a lot of people are getting tired and beat up and burned out and confused. No, that wonderful, wonderful Holy Spirit said, hey, psst, man, if you could, you'd be making me tired right now. See, He doesn't get tired, but He didn't say that. But it was almost like, it's like, why are you doing, you're just wearing yourself out. I remember Bob Hazlett tells a story how he was in the New Age thing and he started praying and interceding and walking and praying in tongues, and he was aware of something that was going on in this whole curse thing. And he said, curses on me? He said, when you're really serious, he always says, you pull out your samurai tongues, because your samurai tongues, and he starts praying in this tongue that sounds like the Orient kind, and he calls it samurai tongues. He says, well, that's when you're really serious. And he makes it so funny when he tells the story. But he said, 3/4 of the way into this whole thing, Holy Spirit's like, what are you doing? He said, I'm in warfare. He said, no. He said, you look kind of silly and you're making yourself tired. I said, what? He said, no. He said, you're just wearing yourself out, Bob. And then, and you'd have to hear Bob tell the whole story. It's so beautiful. Isn't it beautiful? But he was doing that warfare thing. I break down and I cast down and I right now shield because I am, and he's quoting the scripture.
Not
when you think it has to do with what you're doing.
Yeah.
If it has to do with what you're doing, and if it's about what you do for the breakthrough, you've crossed the line. And you're going to get in trouble somewhere along the line in your soul, self-conscious, works-oriented, or frustrated. Because if you start thinking, John, it's a great question what you ask. What John said, is there a time for that? Oh, there's a time. There was a time. There was stuff going on in my house. My kids were a little young, and my wife was going through some certain things. And there was a time where things got real obvious to me. And who knows that you don't walk up to people and say, devil, come out!
Yeah.
Do you ever have somebody say something that you knew it was straight from like hell?
Yeah.
Well, you don't look at the person and say you're a devil, or you wouldn't talk like that. You realize there's some kind of something going on, hurt language. But there was some stuff going on at home, and the house didn't feel right. And I walked the whole way to the attic. It was amazing. I walked the whole way to the attic, closed the attic door. I said, now you listen to me. This is my house. And I'm Jesus's, and He lives here. You have no right. You get out of my home, my family. I command you to leave this house. And it came in me. It was like, rah. You just can't even imagine the change that just boom. One night I woke up in the middle of the night. My house sounded loud and creaky.
Mm-hmm.
It just sounded unrestful. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
My kids were both coughing, and I could hear them in their rooms wrestling in bed. My wife was just rolling in bed. It was weird. I woke up and the whole house felt weird. It felt creaky. And it's not some weird horror movie thing. It just felt weird. I don't understand the theology of this. I don't need to. And nobody even needs to try to fill me in. Please don't get me that technical. Don't corrupt my innocence on this one, okay? Because I'm a relationship guy. I'm not a technical guy. I walked downstairs and I said, Lord, what is different? Something's so weird in my house right now. He said, Dan, darkness has tried to encroach your house. And I said, what? He said, darkness, it's darkness trying to encroach your house. And I don't know what that means. I don't know why it had permission. I don't know what, you know, that's what we, well, what door did it open? Well, where did I, well, how? I don't need to know all that. All I need to know is that God said, this isn't light, and I know I'm called to the light. So guess what I did? Father, well, I thank you. My home is blessed. Darkness has no place here. There's light in you and no darkness in you, and you're in us. And I just bless my home. And I thank you, Father, for my wife and my children. Instantly, I can't even tell you the dramatic... So I don't need the 4-hour sermon on the demonic and the this and the doorway and the this and the whole... I don't need all that. That's technical and it gets crazy. And then people witch hunt their whole life. No, the truth is to me, and I'm not demeaning people when I talk that abrupt. I just see it takes people on a wild goose chase and distracts them from knowing Him. And then that goose chase becomes their ministry, their identity, and who they are. It just gets weird. I want to know Him and wake up, and if something like that's... I just want to speak and have it say, oops, wrong house. Took a wrong turn, sorry. Why can't it be that simple? It can. But without relationship and knowing His love, it's probably not that simple. It's more warfare. What do I do now? Right, John? Back to your question. What do I do now? And now I have to get all my spiritual ducks in a row and say all the right things and get the equation right. That's we do it with healing all the time, guys. Who's ever been in a circle? We're praying for somebody and we're looking with our eyes, waiting for it to happen. And because it hasn't happened, we're not believing anything's happening. So we try harder. Hey, let me take a shot. Well, listen, this scripture's been on my heart all week. Can I just do this? Yeah, take a shot. Well, maybe we ought to wave both flags from both sides over them. And how about grabbing the other shofar? It's what we do. I'm being real. It's exactly what we do. And it shifts into works. And it has a spiritual sound to it. It seems right to us, but it has nothing to do with His finished work. And in other words, if we get everything right, it can happen. No, He got everything right. He got everything right. It's not what you do, it's what He did and what you believe about what He did. Are you following me? In all these areas. Especially the whole darkness and demonic thing, because I promise you, the devil loves... Did you have your hand up? Okay, I didn't know if we were in an auction or what. You were pretty subtle there. I was like... It's so funny. I'll get you here in a minute. Especially where the demonic's concerned, because the devil loves you to pay attention to him. Oh, he would love if he could just get some quality time from you today. Oh, he would love that. He would love if you just fix your eyes on him. I don't even think about him. And if he shows up, because when you're walking in the light and in Christ, anything that's dark looks dark. It shows up. If he shows up, you deal with him. But you don't dwell on him. You're not looking for the devil. You're looking unto Him, the author and finisher of your faith, Jesus. You're looking unto Him, right? Even it says when the things that, it says that all things are placed in subjection under our feet, however we don't see all things yet in subjection, Hebrews 2, it says, but we see Jesus. What do we tend to see? What's not in subjection, what isn't happening, what ain't working, and then we go over that and on this big search, why and what can we do about it? And the Bible simply says, but we see Jesus and we get our eyes fixed on who He is because that's what's going to change what hasn't been submitting. It's so simple. Oh my goodness, it's so simple. You're not on a witch hunt. You're on a... you know, is the devil real? Yeah. Is there times you need to deal with him? Yeah. Is there times you need to address some things? Absolutely. It comes out of the authority of knowing Him, knowing who you are. That's where authority comes from. There's love here. There's relationship. You begin to see who He is and who you are in Him. So when you're speaking at the devil, it's not because you have a problem. It's not just because you're afraid. It's not just because you need him to leave. Because you know who you are and you see who He is in that light, and there's a proper authority. There's a It's this powerful. The first demonic experience I ever had, I'll get to you here in a second. The first demonic experience, I don't know how we get, see how we get on these topics? Is this okay that we're even here?
Yeah.
The first demonic experience I ever had, I was barely saved, meaning time-wise, because you're saved. It doesn't mean the skin of my teeth. I'm having fun with you guys. Barely saved chronologically. This is a fun story. It could sound a little arrogant if you hear it wrong. I was pretty impressed by it and pretty flipped out by it. And I'm glad the experience happened because it really ministered to me. This lady called me. They were worshiping Jesus over at her house. They had a little gathering of you ladies that love Jesus. And they can be pretty scary because your eyes are all lit up and you're Jesus. And he likes that and he tends to like come. So they're all in the room, Jesus, and they're crying, oh, we love you. And they're all in a circle. And right in the middle of their little Jesus fest, this lady goes, rolls over in a ball. Right in the middle of their little Jesus circle, man. Oh, we just love you. Who knows if they're loving you? I love you. I love you. And he's going, oh, I love to be loved by you. And he's getting bigger and bigger. Jesus is manifesting. And all of a sudden, he's going, So my phone rings. I'm barely saved chronologically. My phone rings. Brr, Dan. Oh, my God, Dan. So-and-so's manifested. It's a lady I knew. So-and-so's manifested. What do you mean she's manifested? She's manifesting a devil! I said, where is she? In a ball on the living room floor going, I said, well, what did you do? Just cast the thing out of her. Well, that's my quick response, right? Because I know in the Bible it says cast out devils. It's the first sign of a believer. Just cast the thing out, I said. She said, we've been trying. She said, three of the girls left and went out the back door. They're so freaked out they went home. They went out the back door. She said, we started rebuking this thing and she sits up on the floor. She said, I'm telling you, it ain't her. It ain't her. She said, you know Teresa's pregnant, right? She's big pregnant. I said, yeah. She said, Teresa said, I command you in the authority of Jesus, get out of her. And she said, she sat up and pointed, and this sinister look came on her face, and she pointed right at Teresa and said, you shouldn't have talked to me that way, because now I'm going to kill your baby. Yeah, do you hear all that reaction right there? Now, I'm not making fun of y'all, but do you hear that reaction right there? Devil's gonna do what? Ah! Shabba! 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 Do you see what we do? Come on! The devil's gonna. What did he say? The devil what? Ah! Help me, Jesus! Prayer chains, hundreds of them, email, internet across the world. The devil's gonna kill my baby! Isn't that what we do? Yeah. Ah! We call that faith. But I was believing God. Every day you're feeling for kicking, right? Serious, be real. And when the little baby kicks, oh, thank you, Jesus, right? Am I being real? But that's what that devil said, because it knows how to get in the heads of people. Because if he can get in your head and you let him there long enough, it'll seep down into your heart. Gets down in your heart, short time be in your mouth. So I said, that's ridiculous. I said, now I've had no devil spirits, really demonic experience, really casting out stuff. Now I've learned over the years that I've had a lot more than I realized, because there are snakes in the grass for one thing. They're freaked out by Jesus. They are so afraid of Jesus, and they're so afraid that one day you'll see who you've become because of Jesus, and that's why they mess with people so much, because they're so afraid that one day you'll see what they already know. And then it's over. But countless people I've prayed with, like, I'll be like this, it's okay. I've prayed with, and they'll be like, oh, oh. And they don't even know what happened. There's just stuff, and you see, and you know, and I don't make a big deal out of it. I just pray. And then if I get discernment on what just happened, I'll speak life in that area, and I'll build them in their truth. But I don't just say, well, you know, you just had this come out. And see, we're so up. Deliverance. And then people get devil conscious.
Yeah.
I want Christ consciousness.
Yeah.
I've watched so many people, things come out of them and go over the years. It's unbelievable. And nobody knows it. But they know something. I don't know what happened, but when you were praying, I don't know. I just had this. I don't know. I felt this. But I don't know. I'm just telling you, I feel better. Yeah, you do. And this is why. And then I'll give them the truth on why instead of, well, you know, that thing had. What had me? You mean I had a. Huh? And now they're more vulnerable to devils than they are to the mercy and love of God. You got to change people's eye. You got to get their faith high, right? So this girl, I said to her on the phone, I said, well, listen, the Bible just says to cast it out. She said, Dan, would you just come over here? Well, she's calling me because she sees my zeal. She knows I'm barely saved chronologically. I wasn't full-time pastoring yet. I was just born again in love with Jesus. So I said, just hold the phone over her. I said, let's just pray. And I'm pumped. I'm like, we're going to get this thing, you know? So she's like, probably. She's shook. I said, you foul thing, come out of her. I command you, get out of her. And I can hear her. She said, she got right back on the phone. And she said, look, would you just come over here? Because apparently she started to, whatever she was doing. And she said, would you just come over here? And I said, okay, I'll come over. I'm thinking, well, I don't know what to do. I just have to cast the thing out. So I parked the car. I walked up the house. There's a girl standing at the front door to make sure I knew what was the right house. Old row home like I grew up in the city in. They make them all the same, almost. A little different inside, but the layout's the same. You walk in the front door into what's called a vestibule. There's a door right past it. It's about a 6x6. It's a vestibule. And then a long hallway goes straight upstairs or turns through a doorway into the living area. So she's out at the front door. There's a vestibule. The vestibule door's open. And then you got a long hallway from me to you guys to even get into the living room, right? Watch this. Oh, this is amazing. I hadn't done anything. I hadn't prayed or anything. But this was the strength of my life. Who knows those girls were sincere, they wouldn't have been meeting in the living room worshiping Jesus. Who knows the best they understand, they from their heart love Jesus and love the message of the cross and the gospel. Right? But yet they're doing this stuff, they're fearful, three of them run out the back. It says a lot right there. Right? There's things we grow in, get built in, established in, whether we realize it or not, they manifest when needed. There's things being formed in us through communion and relationship. They become your reality before they're even tested. In the sense of when you get thrown in it, it depends. Because watch, you'll get this. I go up the stairs, and I think I shared this in the last school just because we got on this topic. It's a grace thing. It's knowing who you are. It's an authority thing. It's not a do this, 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 and this, and then you'll get this. It's a be. To be empowered to do. I'm walking up the steps and the girl's at the door and she goes, this is my first experience. Real experience of a real, right? Like, you know, you say, man's voice is coming out of ladies. You got a real thing going on, right? That's what people think, you know. But this was real. It was like a movie. It was like a movie. I get to the door and the girl's looking and she went, oh my gosh. I said, what's going on, hon? She said, I just heard her in there yelling out. I just heard her. I said, well, what? It's okay. She said, no, didn't you hear what she said? And I said, well, no, I'm on the porch. I'm just coming in. She's standing in the long hall here. About the end of their table is the living area, and she's laying about where that first sign is in the house back there. There's a solid wall, no windows. She's laying there. Guess what she said? Oh, no, Jesus is here. Yeah! Whoa! Not in pride and arrogance, confidence. Guess what? He is here. He was already there. He's in all those girls. Theologically, we know that. But guess what the devil said? Oh, no. There's something about identity. There's something about knowing Him and His perfect love, clean in heart and conscience. There's something about walking with Him and knowing Him that's happening that you don't even realize. That a man that's training you is getting healed and you didn't even pray for him. A man that's a chain smoker doesn't smoke anymore because he stood 10 feet away and listened to you talk to another man. And he calls you in the morning freaked out because he didn't smoke since that moment and doesn't know what's going on. And you go to his house and teach him and he gets saved and you give him a Bible and baptize him in his bathtub. Real stories, guys. There's a lot of them. Oh, there's a lot of them. There's something about knowing. Not struggling and trying and just knowing. I go up the steps. Oh no, Jesus is here. That's a good one. I'm feeling pretty right now, baby. Do you ever go in a barnyard and the old rooster meet you on the lane? There's big cows and horses, but he rules the place. He's out there. He's checking out the truck. You know, he's like... That's just how I felt, man. I was about ready to go in there and just... I walk in, she's laying there, and it's this dear lady. I know her. You know what happened to her? Sexual infidelity, unconfessed for 2 years. Sold out to something she didn't belong to. And it's amazing how that thing, when the rubber met the road and things got really down to where it's at. So there was a stronghold there, wasn't it? Well, brother, but a Christian can't, and da-da-da. She gave herself to something she was no part of and just kept it her own secret, never dealt with it. Maybe was never sorry she did. Maybe felt like she deserved a little. Maybe she was neglected here, so hey, and whatever. But I tell you, it came with a price. And this thing's there the whole time. Some kind of jurisdiction in her life. Some kind of control. Till Jesus gets bigger. And then it's exposed. And now it's there, but it's still there. Isn't that amazing? That's why you give no place to Him. He's a snake. He's a rat. You don't belong to Him. I'm not talking legalistic right now. I'm talking pure and sincere. You don't give no place to Him. He's a loser. I promise He's a loser. So I was already encouraged. Who knows I was encouraged? So I kneeled down and I said, "Hey, honey." I called her by name. "I want you to look up at me." I figured she's just going to look at me and talk to me. She said, "No, I am not looking at you." And I said, "Whoa, that is not sweet little so-and-so." She's bent up, curled up. "No." I said, "Honey, that's ridiculous. Look at me. Talk to. Sit up and talk to me. Why won't you look at me?" "Because you look just like Jesus." That's what she said. Now I'm like, dude, this is getting crazier. I'm thinking, well, I ought to. He lives in me. I'm completely surrendered to Him, and I'm feeling like He loves me pretty good here right now. I probably look a lot like my daddy, and I look a lot like my brother. You can probably tell we're siblings. Christ in you. So now I got a devil going, "Oh no, Jesus is here, and you look like Jesus." And I'm pretty happy about that. Because I didn't do anything spooky. I didn't do anything right. I didn't even command or confess yet. I've just been affirmed that I'm Christ-like by the devil. So I'm pretty happy right now. So I did what you and I are taught to do. And I still don't have answers for you, and don't anybody even try to figure it out for me. I just live a certain way. I don't need the technicals on this. You imagine the confidence that's in my heart right now. You put yourself in my shoes. Are you confident right now? So you tell that thing to what? Tell it to go, and guess what she did? She sat up with her eyes closed, sat straight up, and laughed like a hyena. And this is what came out of her mouth as I'm confessing. I'm praying my best prayer, telling this thing to go. And guess what she's just saying? It's not her. She remembered none of this whole incident. She had no recollection. She's sitting there laughing like a hyena going, while I'm praying my authority prayer for it to go. It's just howling in my face. And here's what it said. Here we go again. How many times do I have to go through this one? I'll start to cut into your old rooster crow, won't it? And in my heart, I said, God, you have to help her. This thing sees you in me. I don't have knowledge. I don't know what I'm doing. I just know you said cast them out, and this thing's got to go. It is not. So I didn't let it totally shake me. It made me draw on God. And it said, I said, listen, you are coming out of her. And I made the mistake and started getting a little conversation with it. I don't encourage you to do that because they're liars. It's silly. Why would you even talk to them? And it said this to me. It said, I am not coming out. I've been here a long time and I'm going nowhere. It's exactly what it said, with her eyes closed the whole time. And I said, oh no, you are coming out. And that was just me building back up in a confidence. And I'm looking in my heart, and here's what Holy Spirit said. There's no technique on this. It's follow the Holy Spirit. Who knows that there was an infidelity? I found out later. Who knows there was something unconfessed? I found out later. Who knows there was something violating the conscience? I found out later. Here's what Holy Spirit said. I didn't understand. It's not a method to casting out devils, but I follow Holy Spirit. Isn't it amazing? They're legalists. The thing already saw Christ in me. It already acknowledged that it didn't want to look at me because I looked like I'm pumped. But yet when I said, boom, this thing's laughing like a hyena and mocking. And Holy Spirit said, Dan, I want you to sing this song right now. And I'm like, okay. I sang the song. Guess what the song happened to be? Her favorite spiritual song that made her feel close to God. Is that amazing or what? How many songs are out there? Dan, sing this song. So I start singing the song. Because Jesus told me to, it sounded good. My voice even sounded good on this one. I'm being funny. It wasn't funny, but I'm trying to be. Stick to preaching the gospel. I sing a song, and guess what's happening? She's like, and there's heart activity. God's ministering to her inner person. God's wooing her home. God's telling her, I love you. Come out of this yoke of 2 years of just alienation and whatever, orphanage, whatever. He's calling her, and as I'm singing, she's coming out of that place and falling in love again. And right in the middle of singing, she's like this. It was hilarious in one sense. This devil's still there, and this is what happened. I'm going to try to act it out exactly like it happened. She's sitting there. She went, this is not working! And I'm thinking, this is so working. Not that it's a method, but here's what was happening. What was God doing? He wasn't just setting her free. He wasn't just casting the devil out of her. He was winning her back. He's winning her back. He's just, I love you. And I'm singing this song. It was Psalms 23. You make me lie down in green pasture. You make me wanting for nothing. You fill my hunger with honey from your sweet, sweet word. And you let me worship before you. Hear how intimate that is? So I bow down before you. You are my shepherd. You are my Jesus. You are my Lord. Guess what song that was? Her favorite song. You might have never even heard of it. This thing starts losing. Her heart's coming home. Inside, guess what's happening? God, I'm so sorry. God, Right? Can't say much, but saying a lot. And all of a sudden, that thing, I never told it to leave. It's just going. I could tell. I said, honey, I called her by name. Look at me. She looks right at me. She's crying. What's going on? I said, it's okay. There's a lot happening in your heart. I said, I know what's going on. I know. Huh? I said, it's okay. Because she realized I knew what was just being made right. I said, when's the last time you prayed in the Spirit? She said, over 2 years. I said, take my hands and pray right now. Just begin to pray and let's worship Jesus. I looked over at the pregnant one. Honey, did you get afraid when that thing pointed to you and said that? She starts crying immediately. Why? Because that's still in her mind, isn't it? I said, fear has no place in you. He's a liar. He's a threatener and intimidator. And you see now he has no power here in the scene. I said, honey, your baby's fine. We'll always be fine. And you are blessed. And I just spoke life. I didn't rebuke nothing. I spoke life. She hugged me. And all the girls that were remaining, minus the three that ran out the back door. Watch what they did. They sat down crying. Sat down crying and said, God's speaking to our hearts that we need to let Him become more real to us and receive His love. This isn't principles. It's not just scriptures we're living by. He's our Father. There's something you walk in here with that even though we're praying in tongues and meeting in a little Bible thing, there's something you walked in here with that we haven't built and grown in our life. That's what they said. And they say, they cried and said, we want that. And I said, that's all I know. And that's all I teach. And they said, well, we want that. And we realized, and they were doing a lot of the, right? Samurai tongues. Watch this. The devil looks at you and you're pregnant and says that and you know who you are and you're walking in true intimacy with Jesus, does it even faze you? Because you see Him for what? Who He is. I don't have time because we're at the end of the time. But the testimony that I share about my leg that time, I don't always go into the whole detail. But I was reading a John G. Lake book and a demonic spirit walked into my bedroom out of the blue. You say, well, why did he have the right? How could he be there? You're a man of God. Why was he? See, those technical questions keep you trapped in your head. I don't even have those questions. I don't even need those questions. And I don't need you to answer them for me. They're not the issue to me. The issue is now that he's standing there, who Jesus is. When you're busy asking all those other questions, you never get established in the real answer. Come on, they try your faith. They don't believe you love Jesus. They don't believe a word you say. They could care less that you go to church. They're going to poke you and prod you and prove that you're just like anybody else. And they're there to test your faith to prove it's not genuine. And they accuse you day and night before your God that you're in love with yourself, not God. That's what they do. So the thing walks in my bedroom. It was an instant demonic manifestation on my skin. It felt gross and evil and bleh, and I actually felt it. And down on the inside, I am so born again. Now watch. The devil walked in my bedroom unexpected, unannounced, and Holy Spirit didn't give me a heads up. I'm just reading a John G. Lake book and I have a devil standing somewhere from about here to the corner of your table is what I perceived. And I looked right where I thought it was. I couldn't see it, but you just knew it was right there. I said, what have you to do with me? See, you weren't in my room. Me and Jesus were. And it was. Now watch what came out of my mouth. Who are you and what do you have to do with me? I've been bought with the blood of Jesus. When it was standing there, I had a greater revelation of my salvation than before it appeared. The devil actually, by standing there, made me realize how much of a son I was. And we think we have to go, ah! Devil! Ah! I rebuke you, I renounce you, I pray in the name of Jesus, I'm there and not today. Oh, you can't touch me, greater is he that's in me than he is against me. The Lord's my helper, what's my fear? And he goes, boy, I got him now. Boo! That's exactly what it does when you're in that realm, because it's got you on the ropes and you've turned it all into works, and now you're trying to do everything right so it can't get you because you believe it can. The only reason you react that way is because you believe you're vulnerable. Remember we talked about boundaries this week and last week? Why would you put a boundary around your life? Because you believe you're vulnerable, because people can hurt you, because people have a piece of your life if you're not careful. So it's a self-protecting. You put a boundary around yourself because you're making a statement, I can be attacked and overtaken. There's something in me to be had. Instead of, hey, I love you. See? So this thing comes. Now, I don't believe God would permit that to happen to a newborn Christian. I don't believe God would just allow you to be tempted more than you can bear. I don't believe that there's certain things like that. Usually the devil doesn't just go peekaboo. He's usually a snake in the grass. You know why he would go peekaboo in your life? If he just, like say you're just sitting reading your Bible and the lamp, which I've had this happen in people's lives, and they call you and you go to their house and you have to talk them back to a place of calm and God reality. Like the one lady sitting reading her Bible and the flashlight floats from the table to the counter, flips on, flips off, and then floats somewhere else. And she's going, right? Or another guy's typing on his computer, little violated conscience and some stuff, you get my drift? And a little monkey like looking imp just appears and sits on top of the computer, giggling, laughing, rolls off the computer screen, rolls down the keys, does a front cartwheel, stands up, looks at him and laughs, because he's just saying, gotcha. Why do they come out like that? Because they take that risk because they believe your reaction isn't going to be God. It's going to be freak out, fall apart. It's the only reason he'd come out as he is, because they're usually snakes in the grass. They're seducers. They're secret. This one walked right in my bedroom. He said, what do you have to do with me with you? I was so aware of my salvation. It was a beautiful, amazing thing. I was so confident. There wasn't an ounce of fear or concern. I can honestly tell you, there wasn't one thought of, oh my God, a devil. It was like, I am so born again. I was so pumped. And it said to me, when I said that to it, and I'm full of authority right now, I'm pumped, I'm excited, it said, I've come to put sickness in your leg and you will lose your leg. That's what it said. And I burst out laughing and said, now I know I won't lose my leg because you're a liar from the beginning. Get out of my bedroom. Can't explain this. Don't try to explain it for me. I'm not asking the question. I went to read my John G. Lake book. When I told it to leave, I turned back to my John G. Lake book and I couldn't read one word on the pages. It was just all solid blur. And the voice said, ah, maybe I'll blind you instead. And my vision was already blurred. How's that possible? Don't have an answer for you. I know that's not who I am. And asking all them questions isn't the weapon of my warfare right now. Knowing who I am is what makes me win. I closed my book. I kind of did a little of the old cartoon, devils. Closed off my light and I went to sleep. I woke up in the morning and had zero use of my leg. It was like a hunk of rubber. That's where we fall apart. And that's where we find out if we had a Christian confession and it's a method and a works to protect us, or we had a Christian revelation that takes us through the trial. Because when you wake up and your leg doesn't work, if that becomes who you are and now you're praying from that place, you just spoke cheap religious Christianese words the night before. And yet you think you're doing right. I'm telling you, it's the rubber meeting the road. When you wake up and your leg's like that, and you have the same joy, and you're not moved because your leg doesn't determine who you are in Him. He determines who you are in Him. It ultimately determines your leg. If you keep that clean and that's established, you're going to run well. Are you following me? Devils come walking into your life to see where you really are and where you really aren't. And they hurl threats at the children of the living God. That's what it's all about. And they believe you'll empower them. They believe you'll focus on them and honor them and worship them with your fear, your words. They believe that they'll become who your life is instead of Christ. And it'll become your resume, the temptations and the trials and the manifestations of the devil. And they believe they can overtake your language and ultimately your life. You follow me? They're liars. They are so freaked out by Jesus, it's ridiculous. They just are. I can't quit anymore, I'm late now. But we grow to understand they are freaked out by Jesus. Amen? Amen. I won't preach that He doesn't have teeth. Oh, He has teeth and He can bite if you're in position to be bitten. Preachers preach that He's a toothless lion. I wouldn't preach that. It's not that He's a toothless lion. You respect Him in the sense of what He has the ability to do when there's lack of understanding and stuff in that sense, but you give Him no place. He's your enemy. See what I mean? When I say respect Him, I don't mean you honor Him. You understand that He does have power in situations. But Jesus is what? Lord. Amen? I don't know how we got on all that. I don't know where we went today. But why don't you stand to your feet so we can release faith and maybe let God make sense of it all. We got to ask you for help today because I feel like I didn't lock into anything specifically today. So I don't know where we went. It'll just have to work out in time. That's not me second guessing. It all works out in the wash. See, when you're teaching like this, you chuckle because you're like, what am I doing? But God knows what's going on in people, where people are at, some of their current experiences, friends. God knows. And I'm just in faith that it'll all work out. So Father, we just say thank You for the gospel. Thank You that we can look like You. Thank You that we can walk what looks like in the flesh, but our weapons of warfare aren't carnal. But they're mighty in God. It's walking in truth. That a spirit can look and say, oh no, Jesus is here, or you look like Jesus. That's Your whole goal, Father. We're the body of Christ, the embodiment of the anointing. And I thank You, You're growing us up into You in all things. Father, I'm asking You that You teach us love like never before. I ask that You expose in our everyday life the things that are still self-willed and self-adhered and self-connotations and things that have to do with just me, myself, and I. Expose those things and so remove those things from our life. We don't want us, we want You. And we want all of You to fill all of us. And we just thank You that the two become one. And I just yield myself to You. We as a class yield ourselves to You. And we ask You to continue to father us, teach us, and raise us up in all things. Now, Father, I'm asking a blessing on everyone's personal life. Right now, this feels big to me. Every person in here personally, right where they're at, things they're facing and challenged by or feel challenged in, what a privilege to grow. And I ask You, Father, that they have a right perspective in each individual area. And I ask that some of these things we're teaching would just speak life into them and give them wisdom and understanding. And Lord, I thank You through it all. We have an eye that sees we can only grow from here. And Father, I thank You there's no looking back. So Father, I bless every person here in every specific situation.